by your words. What am I going to say? I'm going to say that our words, the Word of God tells us, is powerful. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, it says. It also means that if we will speak the Word of God, what we speak is sharp and powerful if we believe it. Amen? You can't just speak it out and just think, oh, it'll happen. Well, it might happen. Maybe it'll happen. If I pray for somebody, maybe they'll get healed. No. It's not maybe. It is that we have to begin to put our faith to work. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? Who wants to be a God pleaser? I do. All the way. So that means my faith has to grow. My faith has to develop. My faith has to be in the Word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let's be God pleasers today. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew chapter 12. Shout when you're there. Are you there? Yeah? You found it? Good. Verse 33. And these are the words of Jesus speaking to the people around him. And he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Wow. I could just preach on that alone. You know, that's another message on its own. The tree is known by its fruit. Are we grafted into the vine? Are we producing the fruit from the true vine? Ooh, hallelujah. Or are we grafted into another vine? The vine of the enemy, and we're producing the wrong type of fruit. We need to be grafted into the pure, true vine, Jesus, and produce the fruit of the Spirit of God that will bring life to men and women. But Jesus goes on to say to the Pharisees and Sadducees around him, he says this, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Wow. He says, the good man, verse 35, out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of his evil treasures, brings forth what is evil. And I say to you, that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in that day of judgment. For by your words you shall be judged, and by your words shall you be condemned. Wow. For by your words. Words are powerful. Jesus used words in a wonderful way to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. He simply spoke the word. Genesis, in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was. There's power in the words of a true believer. There's resurrection life in the words of a true believer. And you know, we have to come to that point where we begin to believe this Word of God to its absolute nth degree. You know, because as far as God is concerned, nothing is impossible to Him. Our God is a great, big, wonderful God. That song that they wrote, God is greater than every situation. He's greater than every circumstance. He's far above all principalities and powers. And you know, when we begin to worship him, when we begin to thank him, when we begin to speak his name, yes, when we talk of the love of God, yes, and we share the love of God into people's lives, it changes people.
Yes.
Even this last Friday night,
yes,
that concert that we had, that young couple singing the words that God had given to them, it spoke into somebody's life. And somebody last Friday night gave their life to Jesus. Wow. They'd been going to church most of their life, but they'd never, ever given their life to Jesus. And Friday night was their night. Angels danced. Angels rejoiced. Heaven had a party for one soul that came in fully into the kingdom of God. And it was through words.
Yes.
I know there was music attached with it, but you know, words are important.
Yes.
We can be snared by our words so often. I hope today that the words that I speak to you will challenge you. It will cause you wanting to hunger and thirst for more of God.
Yes.
And for more of God in your life. So Jesus, here in this, as he's speaking, he says to the people around him, he says, you know, what you say, you'll be judged on. Because you see, what we say always starts with a thought. It starts with what is inside of us. That you speak good things. We were talking, I think it was last Wednesday, weren't we? We were in James chapter 3. We were talking about the tongue and how it can be such a deadly weapon, or it can actually be so powerful that it can set people free.
Yes.
You know, when you minister in the anointing of the Spirit of God and you speak words of life, you speak words of freedom, and the captive is set free. Hallelujah. You speak words of healing and the person's healed. Amen. Is that right, Carol? Hallelujah. We serve a healing God. We serve a God who sets captives free. But you know, we have to come in line with this word of God. We have to align our tongue to the word of God. And we need to speak out this word. It changes circumstances. It will change your destiny. If you don't know Jesus today, if you need to find Christ, then today is your day to find Jesus. Today is your day to give your life to Christ. Today is your day to change your thinking. Today is your day to change the way you speak. You know, even as believers, we can speak so negatively at times. We fall into the trap of the world. The world is so negative. This could happen. That could. There's always a could somewhere. This may happen. And they're always talking about some form of disaster. You know, this coronavirus, it could go worldwide. Yeah? And it could not go worldwide neither. We need to stand and say, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over these things. God has given us all power and all authority in the name of Jesus. It says it in Matthew. Jesus says in Matthew 16 and verse 19, he says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Wow. I've got a key to the door. You know, when I was younger, Charles and I, when we were 21, they always used to throw a great big party, and officially they gave us the key to the door. Do you remember that? Yeah, key to the door. You could let yourself in and let yourself out. You know, you could stay out as long as you wanted.
Yeah.
Our key was always tucked under a shelf, so I always knew where the key was when I was out, so I could always get back in. So one day my father forgot to put the key, forgot that we were out. My sister and I were at some church meeting and we were late coming back. We were locked out. We banged on the door, nobody heard us. Well, I had the garage key, which was a little bit down the road. I went down to my father's garage where he kept his car. And believe it or not, I broke into his car. So we slept in the car that night, didn't we? Yeah. You know, I broke into one or two cars in my time, I'll tell you. Yeah. And but I've never stolen any of them. So yeah, we, you know, so God wants you to have the keys of the kingdom. God wants you to know your authority. You see, God has given to you and to me authority, and we need to realize that, and we need to start talking like we are people of authority, that we know our authority, that our authority comes from the Word of God, and that as the Word of God is revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, then we will speak the words of power, we will speak the words of blessing, and we will build into people's lives the truth of the gospel. You see, today people are looking for the truth. They're getting all sorts of rubbish given to them, and they're looking for truth. Today, Jesus is the truth. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18, it talks there about us binding and loosing, about taking our authority. Jesus says to him, "Truly I say to you," in verse 18, "whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in the heavenly realm." In other words, nothing can come against you that will have victory over you, will it? That song told us, "I'm going to see a victory." Well, tell you what, I'm going to see victories. Hallelujah. I'm not in for one victory. I want to see victory after victory after victory, because I want to see, and I believe and know, because I've read the end of the book, that Satan's defeated. Amen. And I want to see his head crushed, ground, and crushed again, and ground again, and continue crushing his head and bruising his head. Because that's what Jesus said we were supposed to do. He didn't say, "Go and cower back in a corner." He said, "Stand, take your authority, declare the word of God, speak out the word of God, take it in authority. And the enemy will flee from us in all directions, scared of us." There's power in the tongue. There's power in your words. Don't say to a young child, "Oh, you'll just be like your father, your grandfather, an alcoholic, a drug addict." Don't use those words. Speak the things that are good and wholesome. Speak over your children life. Pray over them when they're asleep. Can't resist you then. They can't kick off. Just go into their bedrooms and in the name of Jesus, pray over them. Believe God to do something mighty in their life. Because the power of prayer changes things, changes circumstances. You know, you might be in a difficult circumstance now. Well, your answer is in the Bible. Your answer is in your prayer life. Your answer is in when you declare the promises of the Word of God. And God said he will bless you. God said that Jesus died upon that cross for all our sins, for all our sicknesses, for all our diseases. Amen? So if you're sick today, guess what? The price has been paid. We need to find that and receive that into our hearts and into our lives. Oh, people say, "Andrew, you're expecting the supernatural to happen. You're expecting something marvelous, and you're expecting utopia." I am. Because I am said so. And if I don't believe the I am, then I am lost. You know, if you read in Job chapter 19 and verse 2, it speaks there of Job's friends. They came to comfort him. The only thing was, they were pointing the finger. "You must have done this wrong. You must have done that wrong. You did this. You must have done something wrong." And they were pulling him down constantly. It's like, I don't want friends like that. We all know when we've done something wrong. The Holy Spirit works on us and lets us know, and we feel a bit uncomfortable, don't we? Like, okay, God, I'm sorry, God. And the moment that we repent and say sorry to God, He forgives us.
Amen.
We don't have to keep going back. God, do you know when I did that last week, will you forgive me? God's saying, what are you talking about? You see, He's already dealt with it. He's now forgotten it. It's cast into His sea of forgetfulness.
Amen.
It's gone. He's forgiven us. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. We don't have to keep going back to Him time and time and time and time again. We just need to sort ourselves out. And we need to stop letting the devil pick up things of the past and say, oh, this is yours. Remember when you did this wrong? And he's pushing it in your face. He's trying to bring it back to your remembrance to bring guilt and condemnation upon you. Now, the Word of God says there is now no condemnation to those of you who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not condemned anymore. We are a free people, and a free people that should be rejoicing and dancing and praising God and declaring the Word of God without fear, without doubt of it, in it, but knowing that He's the one who sets us free. And you know, when we begin to realize how much He loves us and cares for us, and that we realize that we are blessed and that God has forgiven us, we'll begin to tell people more and more. God can forgive you. You see, Jesus made it so difficult in one sense. He said to us, if you think it, you've already done it. Great. Anybody had a bad thought this week? Yeah. You know. The thing though is, you know, did you act on it?
No.
Right. But the thing with that though, Jesus said, but if you think it, you've already done it. Oh, you know, I'm lost as a goose, you know, in that sort of sense. But no, you see, Jesus was challenging us. We don't act on our thoughts, we act on the Word of God. You see, none of us can be good. We're only made good through Christ Jesus. And it's only the Word of God, as it moves in our lives and it changes us and it forms us and as it shapes us, it makes us into the image of Christ Himself. Hallelujah. I'm a vessel in process, believe it or not. I'm on the wheel of perfection. Anybody else? You know? And now and again the wheel stops. And God takes something out and He begins to dig. We need to remove this, Andrew. Oh, God, surely not. Ooh. And He begins to dig it out and He says, I've found something. He begins to remove it. And He begins to reform us and reshape us. Because He's perfect. And He's planning a perfect vessel that will hold everything of Himself and the Holy Spirit, and we will manifest the presence of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Matthew 18. It says, truly, verse 18, truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, he's repeating for a second time. And again, in other words, did you get it the first time? No, you didn't, so I'm going to tell you again. I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Guess what? If two or three of us come together in the name of Jesus, God says, I'll do it. He's listening for your faith. He's listening to your words. He's looking at your heart. He's seeing everything about you. And do you believe? Remember that statement? Yes, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Deal with our unbelief. You know, so many people talk about praying and fasting. And they say, oh, you know, before you start dealing with demonic, you've got to pray and fast over it. Before you start praying for the sick, you need to be praying and fasting. Now, I'm not against praying and fasting, but you've got it all wrong. You see, the only thing that stops the demonic from leaving that young boy in the Bible that cast himself, that was being thrown into the fire, that young boy, was unbelief. You see, Jesus today is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our faith level has to continue to grow. Our faith level has to continue to keep going through the changes of growing and expanding in God. Because each step of faith, the next one is bigger than the last one. And the next one is even bigger than that one. And so our faith, God is causing our faith to grow in Him. See, children don't have troubles initially. They don't believe that you can't do anything. They just go and do it. You know, if daddy's there and says to the child, jump, I'll catch you, they just jump, don't they? They don't even think about it. They have no doubts. Every confidence in Father. We need to listen to Father's voice. Listen to Father's voice, and when He says jump, we jump. Again, I say to you, if any two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in the middle of you all. Hallelujah. He's there. He's always with us. He said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Oh, ain't it great? You know, we have this security that He never leaves us. And yet there are times, sometimes we feel that, is God there? Yeah? Have you been there? And guess what? Do you know who walked away? Do you know who moved? Yeah, it was you. God's still there, but you moved. You had some doubts, you had some fears, you let the enemy begin to move you away, draw you away. You let things pull you. But God's still there. All He's waiting for you to do is just turn around and go back to Him and realize, oh, well, how did I miss that? How did I let the enemy come in and deceive me? Fear not, for lo, I am with you always. Praise His wonderful name. You see, Jesus has given us the keys. What does the key stand for? It stands for that authority. You have authority in and through the name of Jesus Christ. You believe that? You have authority. We don't need to beg God to do something. Jesus says, speak it out. And He says, speak to this mountain and it will be cast into the sea. Wow. What is the mountain? What is your mountain? What is the problem that has suddenly become a mountain to you? Start speaking to it. Start dealing with it. Start bringing it to the Word of God and let the word of God bring it down to its size, and let the word of God kill it and destroy it and set you free. Have another victory. Amen. We serve a God of victories, not a God of failures. God has never failed. Have you? Therefore, we need to make sure that we let God do our fighting. Let Him fight for us. Let Him defend us. All you need to do is worship Him. Our calling is to worship Him, the everlasting God, to worship Christ, the risen Lord and Saviour. We're called to worship. Let your words be words of worship and praise and adoration. Let your words be words of power, declaring the word of God. And as we declare the word of God, we shall see signs, wonders and miracles. We shall see the enemy back off from us. Get into this word of God and gain wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, ask God for it. When Solomon was placed on the throne, God came to him and said to him, "What do you want? Ask anything, and I'll give it to you." He could have asked for mighty wealth. He could have asked for a massive army. But he asked God for one thing. He said, "Father God, give me wisdom to lead these people." And God granted him wisdom. He was known as the most wisest king. And at the same time, God blessed him with all the other things that he needed. Hallelujah. You see, God does not want to withhold from you. But He wants you to be wise with what He gives to you. If you're not wise, you become a fool. And we talked about a fool on Wednesday in the Bible study. Turn with me to Psalm 133. I love this psalm. It's powerful. We've just read that if two or three agree in my name. Psalm 133 confirms that. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity." Yeah? Not uniformity. You know, not all looking the same. Not all got the same hairstyle or the same suit on or dress on. Not uniformity, but unity. Unity of what? Unity in your spirit with God and His word. "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. We may have disagreements on some things, but the unity of the spirit is so important that our disagreements will fade away, and we'll allow the unity of the Spirit to cover. We will allow the love of God to cover those things and move on," and said, "That'll be sorted later. Let's focus on what is important." He says, it goes on to say, verse 2, "It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore." Hallelujah. You're going to live forever. Amen. You believe that? You're going to live forever. Glory to God. You see, we need to realize the importance of, it's not about our doctrine. The big question that everybody has, should have on their lips is, do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Okay, I just wondered. The moment she makes that statement, we can have a fellowship. The moment that statement's made. Because suddenly she's become my sister. If she doesn't love Jesus, then I'm going to tell her all about Jesus.
Yep.
Because everyone needs Jesus. We had a great commission in Mark. Go out into all the world. Yes. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. What else?
Cast out demons.
Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
The church is to be a church, a body of believers that is active.
Yes.
Working together in unity of the Spirit of God to pull down the strongholds of the enemy, to set captives free, and it can only be done by the power of our words using the Word of God. We have to believe in this Word. We have to believe that when we speak this Word out, there will be a positive reaction to what we speak. 2 Sundays ago we were praying for Carol.
Yes.
And there was a positive reaction.
Yes.
To what was spoken over her.
Yes.
God instantly healed her.
Yes.
She struggled with it for what, 4 years? 4 years. Did you ask God before?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, you see, you have to keep asking. And then suddenly, boom, God says, right. Having done everything, then stand. Continue, continue, continue. Do not give up. Press through. Press through. And as you press through, did Joshua give up when he went round the walls of Jericho? No. Do you know why he didn't give up when he went round the walls of Jericho? Because God gave him a key right at the beginning when he gave him that instruction. He said, whatever you do, tell the people to keep their mouths shut. Because they were full of unbelief. You have these mighty walls. You can ride 3 chariot widths around them. There are houses built into these walls. And God says, walk round once today. Oh, by the way, do it tomorrow and the day after, and do it for 6 days. Oh, and by the way, on the 7th day, do it 7 times. It's like, what is that going to do? What is that going to do? I mean, I've heard stories where people said, well, what was happening is, you see, the children of Israel had spears and they were scraping the cement out of the brickwork. It's like, how dumb. You know, these people that don't want to believe the Bible, and they come up with the dumbest suggestions you can think of. You know, walking around the walls and scraping cement out, what's that going to do? You know, you've got to get 3 chariots deep in. Can you imagine if you were underneath the wall, there'd be rocks coming down on your head, wouldn't there? No, just walk round. Don't speak a word of doubt. Don't speak a negative thought. Don't speak fear. Don't speak unbelief. Just be quiet and believe. And they walked round the walls. And he said, on the last time round, shout of victory. Come on. Victory in Jesus. Amen. And you have to bring a shout to your belief. You have to bring a declaration to your belief and shout it and say, I'm not afraid. Because I know that I know what God has said. I know what His Word says. And you have that shout of victory in your heart. And you declare it before principalities and powers. And you say, Jesus has won the victory. I'm living in the victory. I will walk in the victory. I will rejoice in the victory. And I will declare the name of God and the name of Jesus high above everything. And everything that has a name shall bow its knee to the name of Jesus. And tell you what, the walls of Jericho came tumbling straight down. They just simply, I don't know what happened. Maybe angels just decided to descend from heaven and just jump on the walls and push them straight down. Because that's what they did. Archaeologists have found them. Straight down in the sand. He said, the children may just ran over. Hey! You know, just to show you how much God really can love an individual and how much God can actually ensure that even in the biggest dangers going on, that God can actually take care of you and your family. Jericho is one instance. Rahab, the prostitute. Yet she helped the people of God. And they said to her, all you need to do to be safe, just hang a cord, a silk, purple cord, red cord, down that wall, and you will be protected. Stay in your house. Everything else came down. Her house stood. Her family was protected. She's in the line of Christ, a prostitute. But an important person who surrendered to the Almighty God. And you know, when we surrender to Almighty God, He cares for us, covers us, He protects us. I can quote at least three times for me. I have been in accident situations where I probably should have lost my life. But do you know something? God has a plan. God has a purpose for me. And until I finish the plans and the purposes that God has for me, then I'm going to be here for a while. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I am going to believe God, and I'm going to trust God that I will fulfill every plan and every purpose that He has for me to fulfill. And His hand of protection will be upon me. But it is resting in Him. It is giving yourself to Him. It is trusting Him. It's not being foolish and doing the dumbest things. He gave us wisdom. He gave us understanding. He gave you a brain, so that you can trust God. He gave you a new spirit. He breathed into you when you asked Christ into your life. He gave you a new spirit of life. Everlasting life in Christ Jesus. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. This is just after Jesus had, the day before, had cursed the fig tree. And they're coming back and they see that the fig tree the next day is all withered up and died. Verse 22. Peter's astonished at this. And Jesus replies and says to him in verse 22, and Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Don't have faith in your bank account. Don't have faith in your pensions. Don't have faith in the system. have faith in God. Yeah, but that seems impossible. That's true. But God is a God of impossible situations. Consider, for instance, the children of Israel who went through the desert, Sinai. Sainsbury's weren't there. Tesco's weren't there. Morrison's weren't there. Aldi and Lidl weren't there. God was there. And he said he supplied all their needs. He, you know, this is for over 1 million people. And for 40 years, God fed them, watered them, and on top of that, God fed their animals. Wow. No matter where they were, God's presence was with them. Today, you and I need to realize, you and I need to seek that presence of God, to know that presence of God. You and I need to find that place. Don't let other things distract you. Don't let your words take you down the wrong track. But let your words take you towards the Father. Let your words take you towards the victory. If you're not in the Bible, if you're not reading the Bible, if you're not talking to Father God, if you don't have a relationship with Him, then you will struggle. But I tell you what, if you will trust this word, if you will believe in God, if you will walk this walk that He has for you, you will know the power of signs, wonders, and miracles. My life for the last 50 years of walking with Jesus has been a journey. It's not always been easy. He didn't say it was going to be easy, but He said, "Lo, I will be with you always." Not some of the time, you know. He didn't say, "I'll be with you when it's easy." I'm with you always. Through the challenges, through the difficulties, I'm going to be with you. And I know in my life, and Grace and I in our journey together, God has never left us. We face battles, we face problems, we face challenges, both financial, physical, emotional. And you know what? God has always been there. There have been some days when it felt like God's not there, God's not listening to me. But He was. But the problem was, we were listening to the devil. We were listening to the doubts. Did God say? That's all you need. That's all Satan used on Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, "Did God say?" That God did. But that's all He used. That was His weapon. Doubt, fear, unbelief. With the Word of God, you conquer all of those. With the presence of Christ in you, you conquer all those. Because the Bible says over 365 times, "Fear not. Fear not. Lo, I am with you always, right to the end of time." Hallelujah. When time finishes, we live on in eternity, praising and rejoicing in our mighty God. Trust in the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Let the Word of God just flow through you. And let God know that you're trusting Him, you're believing Him. He said in verse 23, "Truly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain..." What's your mountain today? What is your mountain? And I know some of you've got mountains. It's staring you in the face. You can't see anything but that mountain. You need to step back from it. You need to get into the Word of God. You need to believe, as Jesus said, have faith in God. And he says, truly I say to you, whoever then says to this mountain, be taken up and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that which he says is going to happen, it shall be granted to him. It didn't say that God's going to believe it. He says, if you will believe it. You see, you have to begin to believe the word of God. You have to begin to believe the word of God that you speak out of your mouth. That it has power. That it has all authority. That it has a purpose and a plan. That it will do the work that it has been sent forth to do. It shall not return to you without it brings forth her harvest. God's promises are true. All that you and I need to do is to begin to believe, begin to trust, begin to apply this. Deal with the doubts. Quit listening to the news. Quit listening to the negative doubts, fears, and unbelief that is being constantly manifest in the press. You know, if we leave Europe, it's going to be a disaster. Let me tell you this, when we leave Europe, God has come to set us free. God is raising this nation back up to be a nation that will preach the gospel throughout the nations of the world again. That is our calling. That is our commission. Vida, you are here because the gospel was preached from this nation in your country. Amen? The commission on this nation has not changed. God does not change his mind. Daniel, Lisha, the Nepalese people that are with us are here because we took the gospel of Jesus Christ into that nation. The other day, Daniel and I were in a Chinese church. Why are they here? Because a man from Barnsley, yes, Hudson Taylor, had a call from God and said, go to China, yes, and take my message of the love of Jesus. He gave his family, he gave his life, mm-hmm, for the gospel. Yes. Hundreds of thousands of people have given their lives to Christ because he was obedient. He set up 300 mission stations in China. He equipped Chinese people to take the message of the gospel. Come on. Our nation needs to get back to this book. Our nation needs to come back to the truth of God's word. And you know something? It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We have to get back. We need to be the ones who are the new pioneers, and that we will press through, that we will not be pushed back, and that the words that we speak in Proverbs 10:11 says will be a righteous fountain of life, and that as we speak the word of God, we will speak life into our nation, a new breath, a new spirit of God, a new awakening of God into our nation and into the lives of people. And at the same time, we need to be practical. Lay hands on the sick, see them healed. When we do mission trips, we prepare folk to go with us. And because I expect them, when they get to wherever we're going, that they will be laying hands on the sick. They need to hear the Spirit of God speaking to them. That as they speak out, they speak the Word of God. Not their own thinking, but the Word of God. Because we're there to impart the Christ, the Son of the living God, the risen one, the Savior of the world, who died for all humanity. And today, our words are powerful. Today, our words are important. The only way people will come to Christ is by the words that you and I speak. By the words that we speak, we will set the captives free. Amen? So make sure today and from now on that your words that you speak are positive, are the words of God. Pick yourself up. Stop yourself. You know, we say stupid things like, oh, you know, we've been walking or something, we've been shopping. You get laid when you go shopping, you come home and say, oh, my feet are killing me. No, they're not. No, they're not. Don't be stupid. They're not. They might hurt, but they're not killing you. Glory to God. Don't speak negative things into your life, you know. Speak the life of Christ. Speak the mind of God over your situation. It might look black. It might look like it's going to be a disaster. But guess what? God works even a disaster. Children of Israel, they come to the Red Sea. The sea in front of them, the Egyptians behind them. Phew. Great job, Moses. Great job. Now you've done it. We left Egypt. We took all the money. We took all the flocks. We took 400 years of wages off them. Now they're mad. Now they're really mad with us. And where are we going to go? They're either going to come and kill us or take us back as prisoners. And it's all your fault. And God said, stretch your rod over the waters. And God brought a cloud down, a dark cloud that protected the children. A wind blew in the night. And in the morning, there is the way. How can that be possible? By the power of God, He dammed the waters and made a way through. It says, and the children of Israel walked on dry land. Yeah, is that right? Oh, glory to God. I heard school teachers tell children at school, well, what happened is they went over a marshy plain. That's how they got over into Israel. Well, I said, I want to know how a force of fighting men, soldiers, drowned in a marsh of 2 or 3 inches of water, because I've no idea how that can happen. So to me, it's an even bigger miracle. My God is able to do great and mighty things. Is your God able to do great and mighty things? Then declare it. Begin, you know, when you rise in the morning, declare, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. It might be raining. It has been most of the time this last year so far. But guess what? God has got a promise. He said, I'll never flood the whole earth again, so thank God we're okay. All right? There might be some partial flooding. Some of that's our fault. We laid all the concrete down the tarmac and we built on floodplains, and we wonder why now the houses are underwater. We are so dumb. But we got to blame somebody else. What's happening? The earth is crying out for its creator. It's crying out for its redemption. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for my sins. But He says He died for all of creation. The earth belongs to the Lord and everything that is in it. Today, change your speech. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, speak the word of God. Meditate on the word. Don't meditate on the headlines of the newspaper. The headlines of the 10 o'clock news. Meditate on the Word of God. Call in your promises.
Yeah.
Call in your blessings.
Yeah.
And declare and rejoice in those blessings even before you have received them. I thank you, Father, that you have blessed me and that, Lord, you have made provision for me. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We waited for 25 years for God's provision to be seen in this building. Walk the walk of faith.
Yeah.
Walk the walk of faith and trust the everlasting God. And know his blessings in your life. Know his presence and power. But speak his word. Don't end up following the world and the things in the world. Follow the word. Take the hell out of the world and just have the word. How about that? Take the hell out of the world and just have the word. Yeah? And let God minister into your life. Let the word be truth. And let everything else be a lie. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.